ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। सांख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। द होल जगत, द एंटायर यूनिवर्स which is available for objectification and which is an object of knowledge is anatma. Everything and anything is an anatma, non-self. And similarly, anything external to the body which is an object of knowledge is an anatma. So also this, your own body, mind, sense complex, which is also an object of knowledge, is also anatma. Therefore, the atma is here only as the knower alone, the subject of knowledge alone is the atma, which is Shuddha Chaitanyam. So, anatma, including one's body, mind, sense complex, right from the very knowledge that I am, and any notion you have about yourself as I am so and so, etc., all other thoughts which constitute the mind, and your pranas, your sense powers, the powers of organs of actions, and your, the body, everything is anatma as an object of knowledge, is subject to all forms of modifications and changes. They have beginning, they have an end, they are subject to all changes. And they come within the realm of the material world. And Atma is what? Atma is the subject of knowledge. Alone is Atma. Knower alone is Atma. Actually, Atma is not the knower, but there is no other. Okay, there is nothing other than, okay, the knower is nothing other than the Atma. Knower, the subject of knowledge, is Atma, which is Shuddha Chaitanyam, Shuddha Consciousness. And that consciousness, so Krishna unfolds the nature of the Chaitanyam, the Atma, from many verses, from 11th verse onwards, how the Chaitanyam has no birth, no death, how it changes, it continues to exist, etc., etc., we understood. Later on, he also talked about the limitations of Anatma. How ime dehaha, antavantaha, etc., etc. And thereafter, and then, but this jnanam, but this atma, anatma, vivekaha, this discriminative knowledge of the self and the non-self, the chaitanya atma being satyam, anatma being mithya, this knowledge alone will free one from samsara bondage. That is the purpose of, because Krishna Arjuna asked in the beginning, that कार्पण्य दोष उपहत स्वभाव त्वां पृच्छामि यच्छ्रेय स्यात् निश्चितं तन्मे ब्रूहि, निश्चितं ब्रूहि, शाधिमां त्वां प्रपन्नम्, प्लीज प्रोटेक्ट मी, हो सेंड इट टू यू ओ लॉर्ड, बिकॉज प्लीज टेल मी ओनली दैट विच विल फ्री मी फ्रॉम ऑल माय सॉरोज विच ड्राइव माय सेंसेस, बिकॉज इंद्रियाणाम उच्छोषणम, यू हैव टू रिमेंबर दैट नाउ. So the sorrow which dries up my senses, please tell me only that which will free me from this sorrow which dries up my senses. That is why Krishna has to talk about this Atma Anatma Vivekaha in the beginning of the chapter. But thereafter he also emphasized how important it is to do one's own duties. Because there again he implies that without the non-performance of actions, will not help one to have this Atmanatma Vivekaha. Our performance of actions also will not help one to have Atmanatma Vivekaha. Therefore, definitely one has to, jnanam, this Atma Anatma Vivekaha itself is mokshaha, freedom, but for which one has to become mentally ready. That the mental disposition required for this Viveka, this is clear discriminative knowledge, is mental purity and mental steadiness, antahkarna shuddhi and antahkarna naishchalyam, for which one has to do one's duties. Okay, that's only way. One has to do one actions, I mean, duties, there's no choice about it. But only one has to do one's duties, and one has to do one's duties in conformity with dharma and with isharpana buddhi, with the commitment to, with the clear knowledge of his ultimate goal being choiceless moksha. And there is also certain attitude he should have, whatever comes in life, how he looks at it as prasada. By understanding the law, this understanding law of karma, that all these results of actions are determined by the natural laws, which are also Ishvara. Once he has this understanding of this Ishvara being, Lord being manifest as the natural laws, then he can accept anything with sameness of mind. He can look at it as prasada, he can accept it with sameness of mind. The samatvam, with reference to results of actions, now whatever comes in life, desirable or undesirable, now that understanding that any result, desirable or undesirable, comes and goes, nothing is permanent here, and they are determined by natural laws. Natural laws are Bhagavan, therefore anything ordained by the natural laws is prasada. This attitude of looking at everything as prasada, accepting them with sameness of mind, all these things really convert his action which he does into yoga. Please remember, karma yoga means what? Any action you do becomes a yoga, including worship and prayer, if you have proper attitude. If you live a life of dharma, values, if your commitment is ultimately to pursue, if you're committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and with the understanding of knowledge being the only means for moksha, only then it becomes yoga. Anything which prepares the mind for knowledge, if anything which contributes for the mental preparedness, maturity, the mental purity and steadiness, then that karma becomes yoga. Therefore, he also emphasized in his about karma yoga, and there he also talks about the karma. What is that? What about people who do not have purushartha nischayaha? See, one can convert one's action into yoga with proper attitude, always living in conformity with dharma, only if a person has purushartha nischayaha. Only if the ultimate end of human goal, human life being moksha. Now moksha being the ultimate end is very clear. Otherwise a problem. That is why even if the very word moksha may sound little difficult, we say happiness. Who doesn't want happiness? Then it's very easy. Easy for people to accept it. Happiness means what? It's not simply a pleasure. It's happiness means being happy always, everywhere, with everybody. That is, so always being free from sorrow and pain, that is what is happiness. That is the ultimate end, or through all that you want to achieve, what you want is that, and for which this discriminative knowledge. You need not do anything big, you need not achieve anything, you need not accomplish anything. All that you want is, you have to shift your understanding of your the self being, different from the body mind's complex. Now the identity with the body mind's complex, due to your ignorance of what the self is the problem for all these problems. All the samsara, the entire samsara, all problems and sorrow can be just resolved just by shifting you, giving up your notion that you are the doer and enjoyer, by shifting your understood identity, by correcting your wrong identity. You have to shift your aham notion from the body mind's complex to the atma. That's all. That is why we need a discriminative knowledge. And for that jnanam, you need to be mentally pure and steady. And for which you have to do your duties in conformity with dharma. They have no choice. There's no choice about living a life of dharma, living a life of karma yoga. What else can you do? So living a life of karma yoga is the only way to become mentally pure. Thereby, you will be ready for jnanam and knowledge will dawn. There's no doubt. But therefore, but what happened? Purushartha nischeha is not there. Is it possible for one to live a life of karma yoga? No. purushartha nischaya hai, moksha being the choiceless end is not very clear, and value of knowledge cannot be understood at all. The value of the discriminative knowledge of atma and anatma is not possible. If the value of the knowledge, you know, the discriminative knowledge of atma and anatma is not there, then value of knowledge of the self is not known, then definitely your ultimate end will be what? Artha and kama. But artha kamas become the ultimate ends. If moksha is not the ultimate end, knowledge cannot be the end. If knowledge is not the end, artha kamas become the ultimate end. Artha kamas, which should be definitely pursued with choicelessly, should be understood as one of the means. They become means if moksha becomes the end. And they themselves become the ends means, then it is impossible for one to know the value of dharma. Even if one knows dharma, it is not possible for one to be committed to live a life of dharma without knowing the value of dharma. What happens then, such people, we saw in the last class, that pramana janita viveka yuktaha, pramana janita viveka rahitaha. Then through the shastram, you understand the means, ultimate end, the value of knowledge, dharma, etc., etc. Then that's possible for one to do everything with different attitude, with the kind of dharma, the whole life becomes what? Now, then for a karma yogi, work itself becomes worship. Worship also is yoga. Work is yoga. Anything you do becomes yoga. But otherwise, we saw such people who do not have purushartha nischeha, therefore whose end is not moksha. Then if moksha is not the end, ends will be many. There will be many. Bahusha kaha anantaha. And for such a person is said to be avyavasayi. So we saw how what the avyavasayi do. Vyavasayi is the one who is clear, single pointed, focused, whose end is moksha, whose end is jnanam. Knowledge itself is moksha. Therefore, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, at the same time who pursues artha and karma in conformity with dharma, with proper attitude, whose life is life of karma yoga. Avyavasayi means, what will happen? Bahushaka hanantaha na buddhaya avyavasayi. Now, we saw that last class. And such people, what they do, here also that such people, even if they are great scholars, purushartha nischaya is not there means, even if they are erudite, highly erudite people, still they may get stuck with karma kanda. And such people say, not only really they do, they also organize, they also tempt other people, come on, you do this karma, you do this, you will get this. Like that, they always highly they praise and flatter. They whatever they say, the words are very tempting, attractive words, but when you talk about the phalam you are going to gain by doing certain karmas. Therefore, this month, the shloka what we did last class, talk about, and such people, Bhagavad Gita says, see, not the karma yogis. So, please don't mistake here, people who perform Vedic rituals, or people who do karma, all of them are not avipaschitaha, they are not indiscriminate people. Only people who do not have the purushartha nischaya, then for whom artha kamas become the ultimate end, they are avipaschitaha. And such people, avipaschitaha, what do they do? Pushpitam vacham pravadanti, we saw how they speak flowery words, they attract you, by, they tempt you by talking about the results of, the results that you're going to gain by performing different types of rituals and karma, etc. And such people, and their anyatu nasti, there's nothing greater than a reaping fruits by performing karma. They talk like that, and therefore vedavadarataha, just so engrossed in enjoying the results of, results of karma, the result they gain by performing karma. You saw that also, as people, not only they tempt you, they also what? Kama atmanaha, they're committed to what? Kama atmanaha. For them, pleasures are the ultimate. Kama Paraha. We already saw, no? Okay. And what do they do, such people? What do they do? We have to see this now. Okay. Now we are talking about people for whom moksha is not the ultimate, therefore jnanam is not the ultimate end, therefore artha kamas, which are supposed to be the means, it become ultimate end for them. Such people may know, may not know the value of dharma, may live, may not live life of dharma. And such people, now who for whom artha kamas become the ultimate, they be more engrossed in performing rituals and karmas, not only rituals, even duty, other activities also, they'll be interested always in getting the result by doing some karma or the other. So we are going to see that. And what do they do again further? Not only they talk high of the results of actions, what do they do? Kamatmana swarga paraha.
Janma karma phala pradam
kriya vishesha bahulam
bhogaishwariya gatim prati.
What do they do? Who are those people? Na anyat asti iti vadinaha. No, ya pushpitam vacham pravadanti. No, veda vada rataha avipaschitaha. Look at this. Avipaschitaha. Indiscriminate people. Anyat na asti iti vadinaha. Nothing greater than performing a ritual and enjoying the fruits of action, those actions, etc. Veda vada rataha. Those who are committed, involved, engrossed only in performing rituals and enjoying the results. Also enters only in karma kanda of the Veda, not into in Vedanta. Such people, who are they? Kama Atmanaha. Look at this. Kama Atmanaha. Kama Atmanaha means what? Kama Swabhavaha. Shankaracharya says Kama Swabhavaha. Kama Swabhavaha means what? Kama Paraha. Kama paraha means, I told you already, param means what? Ultimate. Kama paraha means those for whom pleasures are the ultimate. Those for whom fulfilling the desires is the ultimate. They are kama paraha. So kama paraha. And then surga paraha. Surga paraha means surgaha paraha purushartha yesham. Te swarga paraha. Can you read after me? Swarga paraha.
Swarga paraha.
Swargaha paraha purushartaha.
Swargaha paraha purushartaha.
Yesham.
Yesham.
Te. Swarga paraha.
Swarga paraha.
Swarga pradhanaha.
Swarga pradhanaha.
Shankaracharya says, swarga paraha means what? Swarga pradhanaha. Swarga pradhanaha means what? See, pradhanyam means important. Okay, importance. Pradhanam means important. What is important for them? Swarga. Swarga is the ultimate for them. That's why he says, swargaha paraha yesham. See, going to the heaven is the ultimate goal for some people. That means what? Kamatmanaha, kamaparaha. For them, pleasures are the ultimate. That means what? Enjoying pleasures in this life is ultimate. And not only pleasures, their interest in pleasures here and hereafter. Also, heavenly pleasures. They're interested in mundane, okay, worldly pleasures. They're also interested in heavenly pleasures. All types of pleasures. Such people for whom enjoying the pleasures here and hereafter is the ultimate, they are kamatmanaha, kamaparaha, kama swabhavaha. Understand? Can get all these words very easily. Then surga paraha. And then, okay, as long as you live in this life, enjoy all pleasures. Don't miss any pleasure. There's nothing, no, we shouldn't miss the life here. Because there's no, they don't know moksha being the ultimate. Okay, they don't know what they seek through kama, through fulfillment of desires, through enjoyment of pleasures. What they want is happiness, that they don't understand. They do not know. Therefore, what they do for them, enjoying pleasure in this life is Okay. And not only here, once you finish enjoying pleasures here, also you want pleasures in other worlds, higher worlds, which you do not know, because Veda talks about heavenly pleasures. Just try that also. For that, what they should do? They have to really do the special rituals and all that. Such people, surga paraha, kama paraha, no? Such people, kriya visesha bahulam pravadanti, you have to add that. Visesha, kriya visesha bahulam. See, multitudes and varieties of rituals. Kriya visesha means what? Activity, rituals. Bahula means what? Variety here, okay? Varieties of rituals they prescribe, they talk about. For what? For what? He says here. Why they do that? Because they are interested what? Surga paraha, kama paraha. Understand? They talk about. And then what are they? For what? Bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. Okay, for what? Bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. For what? Because bhogaha means enjoyment of pleasures, aishwarya means prosperity. Aishwarya stands for what? Overlordship, which implies all forms of prosperity. Okay? For both. Bhoga aishwaryam prati. Now, for the sake of accomplishing prosperity and pleasures, artha and kama, and then they talk about varieties of rituals. So, what this? Please listen carefully. This swarga paraha. People for whom moksha, people who do not know moksha being the ultimate, for them, what becomes swarga becomes the ultimate. Going to heaven, enjoying the heavenly pleasures become the ultimate. Then there also, who are they? Kama paraha. There also, for whom enjoying pleasures in this life also is the ultimate. Such people, what do? They bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. They talk about varieties of rituals and things which will help them, help one accomplish this bhoga and aishwaryam, arthakamas here. And but such results, now the results of such karma, which will help them, now the karma, this is the performance of rituals and their phalam, which will help one to get enjoyment of pleasures here and hereafter, and also prosperity, etc. What will they do? Janma karma phalaprada. All those rituals and karma they talk about highly. Na janma karma phalaprada. Prakarshena dadati. Such performance of such rituals, not only they will give only bhoga and aishwarya, but they will definitely give what? Janma karma phalam. Understand? Kriya visesha bhagulam, they talk about varieties of rituals. For what? For accomplishing bhoga and aishwarya. But they will also give what? Janma karma phalaprada. Phalaprada, okay? They will definitely give, also they will result in, this janma karma phalam. Janma karma phalaprada. I mean, they will lead you to samsara. Janma karma phalam. That means definitely that will give you the result of being born again. So, te vadanti. The swarga paraha vadanti. Kama paraha pravadanti. We add that. Kim vadanti? Viskriya visesha bahulam. They talk highly of varieties of rituals. Kriya visesha, not one. Bahula, okay? Kriya visesha bahula. We talk about varieties of rituals. For what? Bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. To achieve bhoga and aishwarya. But that kriya visesha bahula, the varieties of rituals, they talk about. Not only they will give bhoga and aishwarya, but what? They will result in rebirth and the enjoyment of punya papa, which is mean janma karma. Okay, you have to accumulate karma, thereby you have to be born again, and wherein you have to again exhaust your punya papa phalam. That means there is no moksha, there is only bondage. Understand? Without purushartha nischaya, having artha kamas as the ultimate, okay, doing karma, will produce the phalam, no doubt, but that will result in bondage, not moksha. Now Krishna does not hesitate to tell us, bhoga aishwarya gatim prati kriya visesha bahulam kamatmanaha surgaparaha pravadanti. Parantu, what will happen? Janma karma phalapradam kriya visesha bahulam. Adjective, no? Kriya visesha bahula, for that adjective is what? Janma karma phalaprada. This variety of rituals which they talk about, they'll produce result. But will result in also what? Samsara, rebirth, wherein you have to exhaust all your punya papas. There is no mokshaha. So we have to be very careful. One can do karma, one can have a result, but if with purushartha when you do it, it becomes yoga. Without purushartha when you do it, it will be binding. Karma binds, karma yoga will lead it to jnanam, the liberating jnanam. Understand? So we'll see the bhashyam now. Kamatmanaha.
Kamatmanaha.
Kamasvabhavaha.
Kamasvabhavaha.
Okay, kamasvabhavaha means what? Kamahyasvabhavaha. Okay? They are full of desires and desire for pleasures and enjoyments. Kamasvabhavaha. Kamaparaha.
Kamaparaha.
Ityarthaha.
Ityarthaha.
Even kamaparaha, we can say very well, accomplishing the enjoying pleasures is the ultimate for whom they are kamaparaha. Please listen carefully. Kamaparaha means those for whom enjoyment of pleasures is the ultimate, they are kamaparaha. Are those for whom fulfilling the desires is the ultimate, they are the kamaparaha. Not pleasure, the right word here. Then swargaparaha.
Swargaparaha.
Swargaha paraha purushartaha yesham.
Swargaha paraha purushartaha yesham.
See yesham. Okay. To those people for whom. Those for whom. Swargaha paraha purushartaha. Mokshaha na paraha purushartaha. Surgaha paraha purushartaha for them. So moksha is not the paraha purushartaha. Therefore, atmana vivekaha is not the paraha purushartaha. Jnanam, atma jnanam is not the paraha purushartaha. What is the paraha purushartaha? Surgaha is the paraha purushartaha. Going to surga is the ultimate. They are surga paraha purushartaha. So, yesham sargaha paraha purushartaha. Those for whom going to heaven and enjoying the heavenly pleasure is the ultimate. Such people sarga paraha. Okay, sarga pradhanaha.
Sarga pradhanaha.
Such people. And what do they do? Next he says, janma karma phala pradam.
Janma karma phala pradam.
I give you this chapter. Janma karma phala pradam.
Janma karma pradam.
Don't disturb. Janma karma phala pradam.
Janma karma phala pradam.
Okay, see, janma, listen carefully. There, the root is da, dadati. Dadati means gives. So, pradadati means prakarshana dadati. That which definitely gives. Okay? Prada means prada, pradam, pradaha, prada. That which gives. Gives what? Janma and karma. So, janma dadati, see, janma pradadati, karma phalam pradadati, janma karma phala prada. Adjective form, no? Karmanaha phalam, say that.
Karmanaha phalam.
Karma phalam.
Karma phalam.
See, karmanaha phalam karma phalam. He explains the word. Janma karma phala prada means what Shankara explains. Karmanaha phalam karma phalam. Fruit of an action is what? Karmanaha phalam is karma phalam. And what is the fruit of an action? He says, janma eva.
Janma eva.
Karmanaha phalam.
Karmanaha phalam.
Okay. See, rebirth, okay, being born again. He does not say punarjanma. Being born, okay, janma. Birth is the karma phalam. Okay. birth is the fruit of an action. For which action? That action is what? Janma. Janma is the karma phalam. Fruit of an action is janma, birth. Okay? Therefore, the action which gives the fruit, you know, as a result fruit, janma, is what? Janma karma phalapradam. Therefore, phalapradam tat.
Tat.
Pradadati.
Pradadati.
It means what? The action which gives rebirth as the result is what? Janma karma phalapradam. Pradadati.
Pradadati.
Janma karma.
Janma karma.
Janma karma phalaprada.
Janma karma phalaprada.
Tam vacham.
Tam vacham.
Pravadanti.
Pravadanti.
Iti.
Iti.
Anushajyate.
Anushajyate.
Now it is said here. What is said here? Come on, they talk about variety of rituals. Kriya Visesha Bahulam. They talk about. For what? Why do they talk about the varieties of rituals? Hey, if you perform all these rituals, you can enjoy pleasures, bhoga, and you can have what? Aishwaryam. You can have prosperity, etc. They talk about the rituals for this purpose. But we have to understand that karma which they talk about will result in what? Janma. They talk about janma karma phalapradam kriyam visesha bahulam bhoga aishwarya gatim prati vadanti. Ke vadanti? Kamatmanaha swargaparaha mokshaparaha navadeyuhu. Okay? People are committed to moksha. They will not say this. Talk about like this. Understand? That is why it is said. Now listen to that. Kriya Visesha Bahulam.
Kriya Visesha Bahulam.
Now Kriyanam.
Kriyanam.
Viseshaha.
Viseshaha.
Kriya Viseshaha.
Kriya Viseshaha.
See, Kriya Viseshaha means what? See, Kriya means activity. Kriya means action. Kriya also means ritual here. Visesha means what? No, many. Okay, Kriya Visheshaha means karma only. And here, and Bahula, Te Bahula,
Te Bahula,
Yasyam Vachi,
Yasyam Vachi,
Tam,
Tam.
See, he says varieties of rituals. Kriya Vishesha Bahula means what? Many, they talk, they speak the words which talk about varieties of rituals. And for what? How do they talk? Kriya Visesham for what? Varieties of rituals means what? To get this, to get that, to get... No? His Shankara is going to explain that. There are rituals for accomplishing many Arthakama ends. So he says now, Swarga,
Swarga,
Pashu,
Pashu,
Putradi,
Putradi,
Taha.
Taha.
See, if you perform this ritual, you can go to heaven. If you perform this ritual, you can enjoy this particular pleasure in heaven. Like that, they talk about this surga. Oh, no, they talk. Very nice. Surga is the one thing. One palam. Then, pashu. If you perform this ritual, you will have cattle wealth. In India, very important. That's why they talk about it. Now, when people give daughters marriage, they'll also ask that person is that much and this much. He also owns some 10 cows. Means it's a big wealth, you know. And that's a big. He has a big farm. Means very something. So here, pashu, even in this country, no, what a big thing. 100 cows we have and milk and then it's a big thing, isn't it? For we all consider that as a big wealth. So here, pashu. Pashu means cattle wealth. You perform this ritual, you will be blessed with the cattle wealth. And putra, look at this. No, having children is big wealth. We always consider wealth. Children are asset for us, wealth for us. And that's why putra, understand, see, not that easy to get children. If you are blessed with children, and it's a big blessing. If you have children, it's a big blessing. So she says, Putra, if you want children, no, if you perform this particular yajna ritual, you will have children, you will be blessed with the progeny. So then, Putra, Adi, or Adi, etc. Adi means etc. and so on. And not only this, these are the main wealth. Children, offspring, progeny is wealth, and cattle is wealth, and going to heaven, etc., flesh is wealth, and all, everything, cattle, wealth, the one word stands for all forms of wealth one can enjoy in this life. All, prosperity in centered, you can say. All forms of artha. So here he says, arthaha. Yayavacha. Bahulyena prakashyante.
Bahulyena prakashyante.
See, multitudes, okay? They talk about varieties of ends. See, varieties of ends one can accomplish. Okay, ends such as cattle wealth, progeny, pleasures, heaven, etc. Understand? So, varieties of ends one can accomplish through the performance of varieties of rituals. Now, they talk about, okay, these swargaparaha, kamaparaha, kamasubhava, kamatmanaha, they talk about varieties of rituals in order to accomplish varieties of ends. Then, bhoga,
bhoga,
aishwarya gatim prati,
aishwarya gatim prati,
bhoga aishwarya gatim prati,
bhoga aishwarya gatim prati.
Shankara explains here, bhogascha,
bhogascha,
aishwaryancha,
aishwaryancha,
bhogaishwarye,
bhogaishwarye.
Dual that, okay? Bhogaha cha aishwaryancha becomes what? Bhoga aishwarye, bhogaishwarye, dual. And what is that? Bhogaha, enjoyment of pleasures, and aishwaryam stands for, I told you already, artha in general, okay, all forms of wealth, which is lordship, etc. Then, tayoho gatihi,
tayoho gatihi,
praptihi,
praptihi.
So, praptihi means what? Attainment, accomplishment, achievement of what? Of those two, tayoho. Of those two means what? Of both, artha and kama. Okay, of all forms of wealth and all forms of pleasures. Bhoga and Aishwarya stand for all forms of wealth and all forms of wealth, you can say, varieties of pleasures and artha and kama in general. So, bhoga Aishwarya gatihi prati means what? In order to accomplish artha and kama, they talk about these varieties of rituals. Tam prati.
Prati.
Sadhana bhutaha.
Sadhana bhutaha.
Ye kriya visheshaha.
Ye kriya visheshaha.
Look at this now. See, in order to achieve, in order to accomplish, praptum, in order to gain these varieties of ends, such as heavenly pleasures, good heaven, cattle wealth, or progeny, and so on, so on, so on. So many, which are varieties of rituals, now they talk about, and then for that, sadhana bhutam means, how can you get bhoga and aishwarya? By performing ritual. Understand? Therefore, sadhana bhutaha, the means to accomplish varieties of ends. Sadhana bhutam means what? Means. Okay, the varieties of rituals which serve as means. Sadhana bhutam means what? Which serve as means to accomplish different varieties of ends. And tad bahulam.
Bahulam.
Tam vacham.
Tam vacham.
Pravadantaha.
Pravadantaha.
See, pravadantaha means what? It's a present, no? Pravadantaha, talking. all the time pravadanta, repeatedly, temptingly, not talking about the varieties of rituals and the ends you can accomplish by performing the rituals, how these performance of these rituals, this ritual serves as the means to accomplish this end, how performance of the other ritual serves as an end, means to accomplish this end. Like that, they talk about varieties of rituals which serve as means to accomplish varieties of ends, Bhoga and Aishwarya, not Moksha. Okay, they talk about it. They talk, always talking about it, always doing it, not thinking of Moksha and Jnanam. They Moodhaha. Say that?
Moodhaha.
Such people, Moodhaha means what? Deluded. Okay, see, the word has come from which root? Muh. Muh is the dhatu. No? Muhyati, okay, remains deluded, is deluded. Mohaha, delusion. Mohayati, swayam deluded, anyanapi deludayanti, okay, anyanapi mohayanti. They also delude other people. Swayam mudaha, okay, and then na muhyati, muhyante, muhyanti, so he is mudaha, deluded. Mudaha means what? Those who do not have discriminative knowledge. Moodaha, the deluded, is the one who lacks, you know, the lack of discriminative knowledge is what? Mohaha. Moodaha means what? Those who are deluded mean those who do not have the discriminative knowledge of what my ultimate end is. And what, how jnanam itself is the ultimate end, moksha. Understand how I have to perform karma to accomplish these ends. Artha kamas I need in life, but artha kamas are not my ultimate end. So I had to pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma, with a proper attitude, ultimately for jnanam, which itself is moha. If this is, this understanding is there, then we can say those people are not mudaha. Otherwise, they are mudaha. Understand? They are mudaha. So, such people, samsare, parivartante,
parivartante.
You know, parivartam is what? They continue to remain in samsara. Vartante, parivartante. That means what? What is samsaraha? As I told you many times, samyak sarati iti samsaraha, that which moves perfectly well is what? Samsara. What is it which moves perfectly well? The beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. This samsara, they continue to remain in samsara. No? Because the life of transmigration. That means what? These people will perform, talk about, because moksha is not the ultimate. Jnanam is not the, jnanam being the means also is not very clear. Therefore, definitely they cannot know the value of dharma. Then one artha kamas will be the ultimate. Once artha kamas become the ultimate, I tell you, how much ever artha one holds all, how much ever you wealth and things you acquire, still you will continue to be insecure. Always the more and more you pursue things to feel secure, the more you continue to be insecure. Because there's no security in anything that you are the very security. There's no security outside you. Therefore, as how much ever you people pursue to feel secure, you know, till they continue to be insecure. Therefore, what? The end will be many and it will never come to an end. Because the more you secure also, the more you acquire also, still you continue to be insecure. Until anything, the more, because the feeling of insecurity being continuous, until and unless jnanam takes place, the sense of being insecurity will not go. Because people who are amudaha, they do not know the ultimate end being moksha, and jnanam being the only solution for that, they do not know. Therefore, artha kamas naturally become the ultimate ends. And because in pursuing artha and kama, they try to feel secure. And how much are they pursuing still, the accumulate also, they continue to be insecure. And as long as the sense of being insecure, okay, is there, insecurity is there, then they cannot stop. That's why they want more and more and more and more and more. Similarly, and then once they enjoy pleasures, that's the only way they can forget themselves. They want more and more and more of pleasures. Because how much of pleasures you enjoy also, still you cannot, that doesn't mean that that will free one from all pains and sorrows. Therefore, they will be searching for that. Such people, and the more they do karma, because the artha kamas become the ultimate, bhoga and aishan become the ultimate, definitely they will be doing more karma. Nobody can stop. That's the very nature. The more karma they do, the more rituals they perform, the more results they regain, the more they have to exhaust the results of actions, the more they understand now, karma phalam. Once they have phalam, accumulate phalam, and they have to not exhaust the karma phalam, they have to be born again. Janma, karma, understand now? Janma, karma, again what? Phalam. And once phalam you have again? Janma. You have janma, you do perform karma, then you accumulate phalam, okay? Phalam. Once phalam you have, to exhaust the phalam, again you have to do what? Had to be born again. Janma karma phalam. Janma karma phalam. Understand now? Janma karma. Again, you have birth means you have to perform karma. Once you perform karma, you will accumulate results. Karma phalam. Once you accumulate karma phalam, you have to exhaust the karma phalam. Once you exhaust the karma phalam, you had to be born again. You cannot exhaust all the karma phalams in this life itself. You can say bye. No. It will never come to an end. This is how karma, no? That's why Purusharth Nischaya is very, very important. Only then you can turn attention towards the pursuit of knowledge. That's very important, isn't it? Purusharth Nischaya is not there. Arthakamas are ends means you will always be thinking of what I can do, how I can do, how much I can gain, how I can enjoy pleasures. This will be the end. And the more you will be driven to karma, the more you accumulate karma phalam, and the more you have to exhaust the karma phalam, and to exhaust the karma phalam, you have to be born choicelessly. Understand? And once you are born, again you do karma, again you accumulate karma phalam, again you have to be born to exhaust the karma phalam. Therefore, this life of transmigration, okay, the transmigratory life, the beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths will never, never come to an end for those people. Samsare eva parivartante. Why parivartante? Punaha punaha jayante, punaha punaha karma kurvanti, punaha punaha karma phalam sampadayanti, punaha punaha jayante. Understand? Therefore, parivartante, they continue to remain in the transmigratory life, samsara. There is no way of coming out of the bondage of karma, getting out of that. That is why, you know, through all these verses, what Krishna emphasizes is now how important it is to have Purusharth Nischaya. Teshancha. That is why. And then suppose for such people, can we talk about meditation to such people? Can we talk about meditation to such people? Artha kamas are the ultimate. Moksha is the, what is moksha? And moksha is not an end. In jnanam itself is moksha. Knowing the self being free from, this, no, freeing yourself from sense of being small itself is moksha. The sense, you are not small. You cannot become big. You are already big, okay, bigger than what you are. Therefore, just you have to know. Knowing is the only means. Knowledge is being, that's not known. Then what is ultimate? Artha kama, bhoga, aishwarya, surga paraha, kama paraha. Then what do you do? Kriya visesha bahula. What will it result in? No, janma karma phalaprada. It will result in samsara. So samsara eva parivartante. Therefore, he says, next shikloka he says, such people always, always the thing of doing some karma or the other. Mind is so, see, they have to scheme and plan a lot. Understand? They can't be at ease. They always be very, very restless. See, you can be active, you can be dynamic, you can be active, negatively and also positively. Thoughtful action is different from restlessness, isn't it? Therefore, he says here, such people, we all very, very restless, very agitated, always scheming and planning. Therefore, such people's minds cannot remain in meditation. Okay, that's what he's going to say here next.
Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam.
Taya pahruta chetasam.
Vyavasayatmika buddhi.
Samadhona vidhiyate.
Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam.
Taya pahruta chetasam.
Vyavasayatmika buddhi.
Samadhona vidhiyate.
Okay, such people, those who do not have purushartha nischaya, therefore for them artha kamas are the ultimate, such people, bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. People who do not have purushartha nischaya, avyavasayinaha janaha, for them, okay, artha kamas become the ultimate. Therefore, such people are bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. See that? Bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Prasaktaha, saktaha, prakrishena saktaha. Those who are interested. Okay, those who are committed to the pursuit of bhoga and aishwarya. Those who are interested only in bhoga and aishwarya. They are not interested in anything else. Okay? So, bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Their commitment is only to the pursuit of bhoga and aishwarya. So, we can simply say, those people, ye bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Okay? Those who are interested, those who are committed only to the pursuit of bhoga and aishwaryam. Bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha, such people. Then, taya apahruta chetasam. See that?
Taya apahruta chetasam.
Apahruta. See, apahruta chetas. See that?
Apahruta chetas.
Very interesting word this is. See, chetas means mind. Listen, chetas, sakarantara pusakalinga shabdaha. Okay, chetas means mind. And apahrita means what? Apahritam means stolen, robbed. Okay, apahritam, snatched, apahritam. So, chetas, apahritam, no, yesham, those whose minds have been stolen away, robbed away, snatched away. They have one. Apahrita chetas. By what? Krishna is also what? No? We are all apahrita chetas. No? If Krishna has stolen your hearts, no? That's different. Apahrita chetas. But here, these people for whom moksha is not the ultimate, jnana is not the ultimate, artha kamas are ultimate, bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Okay, those are interested only in pursuing artha and kama, bhoga and aishwaryam, such people, apahrita taya, No, those whose minds have been snatched away, robbed away by those flowery language, you know, all the tempting words. Always we sometimes know. That means what? Totally buddhi has been given away. Thinking, you see, continuous advertisement always make you stop thinking. You will not have second thought whether I should go and buy or not. Remember, your buddhi, you are not allowed to think before, should I buy it or not? What will it be of any use or not? Continuously you see the advertisements. No? Then you are made to go and buy. Understand? You have no second thought. Because the advertisement is so tempting. It makes you see only the nicer side of the object that is marketed. You know, therefore you are not, what happened to your buddhi? After you go and buy, you know, and keep it at home, then you start using it, then you think, oh my god, I shouldn't have bought it. Not of any use. Why? Before buying, apahruta chetas. Advertisement dwara, okay? Buy up advertisement. Similarly, apahtaya apahruta chetasam. Those people, okay, whose minds have been, buddhi has been totally robbed away by this flowery and tempting words of karma, varieties of rituals and their results. Simple. No? Such people, bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. They are also interested only in bhoga and aishwarya. So people whose minds have been totally robbed away by the tempting words of, you know, the pleasures and words which talk about varieties of rituals and their results, and who are interested only, who are committed to the pursuit of this bhoga and aishwarya, such people, for them, what is not there? Vivasayatmika buddhihi. See, the buddhi, the single-pointedness, no, the calmness, the tranquility required for meditation is not there. As their buddhihi samadhau na vidhiyate, it does not remain. No, samadhau does not remain calm, quiet. So agitated people, it's very difficult. That is why purushartha nischaya is very important for one even to become, you know, steady, to become calm. Vitar purushartha nischaya, simply practicing meditation is useful, but still it is not possible. Meditation really will not work. Vitar purushartha nischaya, practicing a technique by one can discipline the mind may do some good, but still it is very difficult. Samadho na vidhiyate, Bhagavad Gita says. What else do you want? Why samadho na vidhiyate? Kesham. Kesham ekvisayatmika buddhi samadho na vidhiyate. Whose mind cannot remain in, you know, meditation, remain quiet and calm? Because their minds will be very restless, agitated. It cannot remain actual meditation. Why? Because their bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Their interest only in enjoying pleasures and bhoga. So what? That means all they had to be scheming and planning to get it. Why that is? Because the buddhi has been totally robbed away. Tempted, no? By all these varieties of results, bhoga, varieties of pleasures they can enjoy, varieties of artha they can enjoy by doing these different varieties of karma. The mind has been robbed away by that tempting words. Therefore, their bhoga is prasaktaha. Their prasaktihi, interest is not prasaktihi. Interest is not in moksha, not in jnanam, not in dharma. Their interest is only in bhoga and aishwarya. Kasmin vishaye prasaktihi. Bhoga vishaye prasaktihi asti. Aishwarya vishaye prasaktihi asti. Therefore, who are they? Bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Tesham buddhi api kim jatam buddhehena.
ബുദ്ധി അപ്പൊ അപഹൃത അപഹൃതം മനഃ അപഹൃതം ചേത അപഹൃത ബുദ്ധി ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബീൻ ടോട്ടലി റോബ്ഡ് അവേ വി വാട്ട് തയാ തയാ വാച പ്രീവിയസ്ലി നോ തയാ വാച the word, the tempting word, which are, you know, words of varieties of pleasure, the varieties of rituals and their results produced by those rituals. Therefore, vivasayatmika buddhihi samadho na vidhiyate. Okay, let us read the bhashyam now. Bhoga.
Aishwarya.
Prasaktanam. So this verse again, what does this verse emphasize? What does this verse reveal? We have still time. What does this verse not imply? See, if you have no purushartha nischeha, if you do not know the value of jnanam, you cannot be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Once you are not come to the pursuit of knowledge, bhoga and aishwarya, artha kamas will be your ultimate ends. When artha kamas become your ultimate ends, definitely you will be a bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. Choicelessly, helplessly, you will be bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha. You will be interested only in pleasures and artha, prosperity. Once you only interest in that means, definitely, no, your buddhi also is what? Robbed away by the varieties of rituals and karma and their results. Then once that is the thing, then your mind cannot be quiet. Mind will be highly agitated and restless. Samadhavna vidhiyate. Okay? We'll see the bhashyam now. So here, bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam. ഭോഗൈശ്വര്യോ സോ ഭോഗ ഐശ്വര്യം ഓക്കേ ഭോഗ ഐശ്വര്യയോ പ്രണയവതാം ദോസ് ലവ് ഓക്കേ പ്രണയവാൻ മീൻസ് വാട്ട് No, only those who love only artha and kama. Those who love only overlordship and all that which go with power, overlordship. Okay? And then bhogaha, enjoyment of pleasures. Such people. Taya. Kriya visesha bahulaya. So in this verse, in Bhagavad Gita verse, we have the word Taya. Taya means what? It's a feminine gender word. Taya by that. By that means what? Taya. See, sa, tam, taya. By that. By that means what? By what? Here, vachaha is a feminine gender word. So vacha, taya, vacha, by those words. By that word, by those words. What are the words? The words, by those tempting words. Tempting words of rituals and their results. Kriya visesha bahula. Kriya visesha bahulaya vacha. See, by those tempting words of rituals and their results. Apahrita chetasam.
Apahrita chetasam.
Apahrita chetas means, I told you already, apahrita chetas means apahrita chetas. The one whose mind has been robbed away is apahrita chetas. Tesham, when you say purna, of those whose minds have been robbed away by those flowery words and tempting words of rituals and their results, they are what? Apahrita chetasam. Achadita.
ఆచ్ఛాదిత
వివేక
వివేక
ప్రజ్ఞానాం
ప్రజ్ఞానాం.
శంకర యూస్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్డ్ యాక్చువల్లీ. ఆచ్ఛాదిత వివేక ప్రజ్ఞా. సి ప్రజ్ఞా మీన్స్ వాట్ నో యువర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ రియలీ యువర్ ఓన్ కాన్షియన్స్ ఆల్సో. ప్రజ్ఞా మీన్స్ ఇంట్వర్ ఫీలింగ్ ఆల్సో ది బుద్ధి. వివేక ప్రజ్ఞా మీన్స్ బుద్ధి ఇంటెలెక్ట్. యువర్ ఓన్ డిస్క్రిమినేటివ్ పవర్ ఈస్ వివేక ప్రజ్ఞా హియర్. ప్లీజ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ కాంటెక్స్ట్ వివేక ప్రజ్ఞా మీన్స్ యువర్ పవర్ ఆఫ్ డిస్క్రిమినేషన్. ఓకే యువర్ డిస్క్రిమినేటివ్ కెపాసిటీ ఇస్ వాట్ వివేక ప్రజ్ఞా. బట్ దిస్ వివేక ప్రజ్ఞా వాట్ హ్యాపన్ టు ఇస్ ఆచ్ఛాదితం కవర్డ్. So those whose discriminative capacity has been completely covered and hidden. Achayatam is what? Covering. It is not shining. Okay? Viveka prajna means what? Discriminative capacity power. The capacity to discriminate is viveka prajna. So the discerning, discriminating capacity, the power, has been completely, totally covered. That's what it is. అపహృత చేతస్. దెర్ఫోర్ దట్ మీన్స్ దే కెనాట్ దిస్ థింక్ అండ్ డిస్క్రిమినేట్ కమాట్ దిస్ నాట్ లైక్ నో దే కాంట్ థింక్ దే కాంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ దే కాంట్ డిసర్న్ అండ్ డిస్క్రిమినేట్. సో హియర్ వ్యవసాయాత్మిక
వ్యవసాయాత్మిక
సాంఖ్యే
సాంఖ్యే
యోగే
యోగే
వా
యా
బుద్ధిః
యా బుద్ధిః.
వ్యవసాయాత్మిక సాంఖ్యే యోగే వా యా బుద్ధిః. వ్యవసాయాత్మిక బుద్ధిః మీన్స్ వాట్ ది మైండ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫోకస్డ్ ది ఇంటలెక్ట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫోకస్డ్. వ్యవసాయాత్మిక ది ఫోకస్డ్ ది ఇంటలెక్ట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫోకస్డ్ విత్ క్లియర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ knowledge being the ultimate. One is vivasayatmika buddhihi. Va, it is not there. Not only vivasayatmika buddhihi is not there, sa buddhihi, samadhau
samadhau
na vidhiyate
na vidhiyate.
So samadhau, see sa means buddhi there. Okay, sa stands for buddhi. And samadhau
samadha.
See, samadha means in samadhi, literal meaning. Okay, samadha is locative case. What Shankara explains here, samadhiyate asmin.
Samadhiyate asmin.
Purusha.
Purusha.
Upabhogaya.
Upabhogaya.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
Iti.
Iti.
Samadhihi.
Samadhihi.
పురుష ఉపభోగాయ
పురుష ఉపభోగాయ
సర్వం
సర్వం
ఇతి ఇతి సమాధిః
సమాధిః.
అంతఃకరణం
అంతఃకరణం
బుద్ధిః
బుద్ధిః
తస్మిన్ సమాధౌ
తస్మిన్ సమాధౌ
న విధీయతే
న విధీయతే.
సి సమాధీయతే అస్మిన్ ఇతి సమాధిః. వాట్ ఇస్ సమాధిః? హి సేస్ సమాధీయతే అస్మిన్. సమాధీయతే మీన్స్ దాట్ ఇన్ విచ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ ఫోకస్డ్ ఇస్ సమాధిః. దాట్ వేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ రిమైన్స్ రిజాల్వ్డ్ ఇస్ సమాధి. సమ్యక్ ఆధీయతే సమాధీయతే సమాధీయతే ఇది సమాధి. సమాధి మీన్స్ వాట్? దాట్ వేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ రిమైన్స్ రిజాల్వ్డ్ ఇస్ సమాధి. దట్ మీన్స్ వాట్? దట్ వన్స్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ఫోక్ రిట్రీట్ సేస్ ది మైండ్ ఈస్ నాట్ ట్రాంక్విల్ ఆర్ కామ్. ఓకే అటెన్షన్ కెన్ సే సమాధి. సమాధి మీన్స్ వాట్? అంతఃకరణం. సమాధి మీన్స్ వాట్? మైండ్. దట్స్ ఆల్. సమాధి ఓకే అంతఃకరణం. సమాధి మీన్స్ వాట్? అంతఃకరణం. వాట్ అంతఃకరణం? ది క్వయట్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ సమాధి. The quiet mind wherein everything is resolved is what? Antahkaranam. That antahkaranam, okay, samadho na vidhiyate. The antahkaranam does not remain quiet. Antahkaranam does not remain quiet. See what he says, samadho na vidhiyate means mind does not remain quiet. Does not remain in samadhi. What is samadhi? Mind only. Which mind? The quiet mind. So here we had the samadhi, means what? Mind does not remain quiet. Samadho. Okay, antahkaranam, mind, samadho, okay, in samadhi does not stay. I mean what? Does not remain quiet. Samadho na vidhiyate. See, he says here, why, for what? He is purusha upabhogaya.
Purusha upabhogaya.
See, purusha upabhogaya.
Purusha upabhogaya.
See, upabhogaha means, again, closely enjoying. Purusha upabhogaya, for enjoyment, okay? For what he says, because the more the senses are away, when the artha kamas become the ultimate, naturally mind is with the senses. Mind is external. You know, mind is turned outwards. Such a person, mind cannot remain calm. So vyavasayatmika buddhihi, okay, there is no single pointedness, there is no focused attention, and you know, such a person samadhau na vidhiyate means the mind does not remain calm. Na vidhiyate. We have to say it very clearly here. Samadhi means mind. Samadhi also means what? The calm mind. Wherein all the thoughts are resolved. And quiet, calm mind. Agitation free mind. Okay. Na vidhiyate. Is not there. Why? It cannot be. It cannot be. Definitely. Why? Because the always we think of karma. Which karma can I do? What phalam can I get? No? And the more they do also, the more phalam they will be gaining, the more phalam they gain. We already saw what that? Janma karma phalaprada. It's a continuous thing, isn't it? It's not going to end anything. Not going to come to an end. Why? Because why Shastam is so assertive about it? Because through artha kama, through the enjoyment of pleasures and artha also, what one seeks is what? Satisfaction. What one seeks is what? Security. What one wants is what? Happiness. That is not there. The real security is one's own self. The real satisfaction is only in gaining the self. One cannot gain the self. Only in gaining the knowledge of the self. You can never gain yourself. Because already you are yourself. How can you gain yourself? Understand? You have to gain what? You have to gain the knowledge of the self. You are the self. You can't say you have the self. You are already the self. You cannot gain the self. But you do not know what the self is. So gaining the knowledge of the self. Then you, once you gain the knowledge of the self, then you understand you are not insecure, you are the very security. You are not dissatisfied, you are the very source of satisfaction. You are not the one who is longing for pleasures, craving for pleasure. You are the very source of all pleasures. Because you are the happiness, very happiness. This is the real truth about the self. This is the one that has to be discovered. Therefore, the fact being such, but all one's interest, why bhoga aishwarya prasaktaha? Why they are interested in bhoga and aishwaryam? Because they want security. They want pleasures. Because through artha and kama, through bhoga and aishwarya, what they seek is this. That is not that. Because the wrong place, what they search for is right thing, but the wrong place. When you search for the right end, the wrong means.
okay, the right end and the wrong means will never be achieved, accomplished. That is why the more and more and more they do, they will be never driven more. The more they do, the more karapalam they enjoy, the more they will be driven, chased. They will be chased to do more and more. The more they do, the more karapalam they accumulate. The more karapalam they accumulate, the more they have to exhaust also. Exhaust all the karapalam. See, the more wealth you acquire, you have to expend also. You will exhaust the money. Exhaust all the punya powers. And not exhaust all the punya powers, you have to be born again. He says, this is going to be what? Endless. Continuous. Understand? And therefore, the more you are given to the pursuit of artha kamas also, bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam antaya no kriya vishesha bahula na bahulaya vacha apakrita chetasam tesham antahkaranam no shantam na bhavati. Simple language. Antahkaranam shantam na bhavati. Samadhu. Samadhi means what? See the mind. Listen carefully. Mind wherein all the thoughts remain resolved. Understand? Then it's called what? Samadhi. Quiet mind. Na vidhiyate. So here why? Because it does not remain quiet. But because the more you do, the more agitated you are, the more scheming and planning you will be. Therefore, the free thought frequency will be, you know, it will be very fast. The speed of the thought flow will be very, very high. That is why you get agitated, restless, and where is the one needs to be very calm to be able to be focused. That is why meditative disposition itself is said to be what? Mental steadiness. Understand? That is why, please now know, I am talking about upasana. What is the purpose of meditation? No? We talk about two types of meditation. Contemplation and meditation. Contemplation alone will definitely result in freedom. Contemplate what? Meditating upon the very nature of the self is contemplation. So constant, continuous, you know, meditation upon the nature of the self is contemplation, which you cannot do without knowing the nature of the self, which presupposes your knowledge of the nature of the self, which alone will result in ascertained, doubt-free, steadfast knowledge of the self, which itself is mokshaha. That is the purpose of contemplation. But meditating upon any given object, focusing attention for a length of time on any given object, thereby every day practicing certain thing, a mantra or Bhagavan Nama or anything, it also becomes what? It helps you to focus your attention. It is a discipline which helps you to, you know, technique, practice to discipline your mind. That's fine. But that meditation also should result in what? No, that any such meditation should result, wherein object of meditation is not the self, not the nature of the self, anything other than the self, which you practice it regularly, should result in mental steadiness. What is mental steadiness? What is mental mind being unsteady? If thoughts go here and there, so restless, if we can't concentrate in something for even for half an hour, 1 hour, that means so restless. And then that's an unsteady mind. Unsteady means, steady means what? Being able to focus or concentrate on something for length of time means you have some mental steadiness. Your mind is steady. Unsteady mind means what? The mind which is wavering and restless and sitting here, go somewhere. No, the scattered attention, the person of scattered attention is said to be what? Unsteady minded. The person of focused attention is who? Steady minded. This is what? Mental steadiness. The person of focused attention is steady minded. The person of scattered attention is unsteady minded. The steady mind is said to be the disciplined mind. Unsteady mind is the indisciplined mind. What do we mean by discipline of this mind being disciplined? The mind is steady mind. Okay? Then we can say disciplined mind. Unsteady mind means indisciplined mind. Restless mind is an indisciplined mind. Understand? That is why children's minds are all very indisciplined mind. That is why education. How to help them to become disciplined mentally? By engaging them in something. We have to give them some work or the other so they will remain doing something. Give them big colorful color pencils, ask them to push some big lines. And color boxes. Why color water color? Give the water, ask them to dirty with the color waters. Play with the sand, play in sand or soil somewhere. Ask them to go and play somewhere. Then that game, the very sport, very games, all these things, no? All these playground, playthings, everything for what? To keep them remain focused at least for some time. That is how we help children to become steady. Listen now. Therefore, disciplined mind is equal to steady mind. Steady minded is the one who has the person of focused attention. The unsteady minded is what? Restless, agitated person. Person of scattered attention. Okay? Then here, that is why for him, for we. Okay? But what do we need here? We are in this, basically by birth, all of us are, all the human minds are unsteady, indisciplined, restless, agitated mind. All of us have that mind. And we have to make our mind what? Calm, quiet, okay? Agitation-free mind. That's why we practice this. And this is possible. Meditation will help you to have this only if you have Purushartha Nischaya. See again. Only Purushartha Nischaya is there. You know, oh, moksha is something which is already there. All I need to do is I need to discover this reality and which is not outside of just available as the very truth of the mind, the searcher, okay? Search truth of the very meditator. Therefore, this mind has to become calm and quiet. I understand the importance of mind becoming steady, leave alone contemplation. See, you can constantly, continuously focus your attention on the nature of the reality, the very self. How? Only if you have a steady mind. You're already distracted mind means, how can you concentrate? How can you focus? For contemplation presupposes what? Steady mind. And for that, okay, so moksha is the ultimate, jnanam is the only means. All that I need is I need to contemplate. It's very, very important for one to have contemplative disposition for which I need to be steady. For the steadiness, I need to be, meditative. That's why without Purusharta Nischeha, mental steadiness is also not possible. Not only Antahkarna Shuddhi is not possible, Antahkarna Naishchalyam also is not possible. Mental steadiness also is not possible. For whom? For the one who does not have Purushartha Nischayaha. One who is Avyavasayi. Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktaha. Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktana. Taya Kriya Visesha Bahulaya Vacha Apahurta Chetasam. Manaha Samadho Na Vidhiyate. Antahkaranam Samadho Na Vidhiyate. Vivasayatmika Buddhihi Samadho Na Vidhiyate. They cannot have focused attention because they will be people of scattered attention. The person of scattered attention, how can his mind remain focused? In samadhi, he cannot have calm mind. Definitely, that such a person will have only unsteady, indisciplined, restless, agitated minded. You cannot have a calm, quiet mind. Understand? See how important it is. Even for meditation to be effective. I tell you, no meditative technique is useless. no meditation practice which people have been doing anywhere is useless. But if Purushartha Nischeha is there, if they know what difference between contemplation and meditation, and if they know meditation is a means because it prepares the mind in terms of steadiness, which is required for contemplation, they know the role of value of meditation, then they practice meditation, that meditation is 100% effective, will be effective. Do it make sense? Otherwise meditation will do some good, but you really don't know. You know, it can't work in what way meditation helps. How meditation is helpful, how useful it is. In simply keeping you calm or in simply keeping you, you know, relaxed. If you want only that, for that much, okay, how effective meditation will be. The meditation will be totally 100% effective. Any meditative technique one practices will be very, very highly, totally effective if one has Purushartha Nischeha, if one knows the value of knowledge, if one knows that contemplation is the only way, contemplation is the only way for jnanaman, for moksha. And contemplation means what? Contemplating upon the nature of the very self, which one should have understood through shravanam and mananam. And for that contemplation, one needs to have steady mind. For that steady mind, understand? One needs to be what? The Purushartha Nischeya must be there, only then one can have a steady mind also.
Can I just ask one thing? is contemplating the self jnana yoga? Because...
In fact, contemplation itself implies jnana yoga itself, yes. Means knowledge of the self, shravanam, shravana dvara atma swarupa jnanam siddhyati. And shravana dvara, shravana anantaram, marana dvara, you know, sandehaha nivartante, nivartaha bhavanti. Thereafter, nidhyasanam is what? Contemplation. Which shravana marana nidhyasanam together we say, in fact, jnana yoga.
But the other part of my question is that if you're practicing karma yoga, I don't know the answer to this, you know, but yeah. I thought that if you were a karma yogin, then jnana yoga is excluded.
Not excluded.
Oh, right.
Because karma yoga itself,
yes,
implies you are being committed to the pursuit of knowledge.
Right.
There's no jnana yoga, not given up.
And so contemplation.
See, there's no jnana yoga. I tell you, there's no jnana yoga. Jnana yoga means what? Jnana yoga means committed jnanam. There's no jnanam is possible. No knowledge of self is possible. No contemplation upon the nature of the self is possible. No ascertained vision of the nature of self is possible. No jnanam. Am I very fast? I'm sorry. I'll be slow. See, knowledge of the self,
yes,
or contemplating upon the nature of the self, an ascertained vision of the self, okay, is not possible. Okay. With no jnanam is possible without the mental preparedness, which is yoga. Okay. And for which one has to live a life of karma yoga. So karma yoga, it's living a life of karma yoga itself implies your commitment to the pursuit of knowledge and moksha. Definitely karma yoga should result in jnana yoga. Karma yoga itself will not give you the result of moksha. Karma yoga itself on jnanam alone, but karma yoga 100% prepares you for jnanam. That is why living a life of karma yoga implies, itself tells you that you are committed to the pursuit of jnanam, which is moksha.
And karma yoga implies purushartha nischaya.
Nischayaha. Vitar purushartha nischaya, there's
and
no
for
karma.
That, contemplation of the self is necessary. For purushartha nischaya. Mm-hmm. Be clear.
You can't contemplate without
No. What I'm saying, contemplation is, that's what I'm saying. You have to remind yourself of your purushartha. A moksha is the ultimate purushartha. Okay, jnanam is the only means. So I need to know the self. Even if you have understood the self, this is all simultaneous. After some time, contemplation, shravanam, mananam, shravanam itself will become mananam. Mananam itself will become nidhyasanam. But at the same time, still you can be, you will be a karma yogi also. That means what? That is why they are not like that. But without being a karma yogi, there is no way of becoming a contemplator. Okay? As a contemplator also, you can still be a karma yogi.
Yes.
Okay? But without being a karma yogi, there is no contemplator possible.
Yeah.
Well, you said that once you have jnana, you don't need to do karma yoga, right?
No. What I'm saying, I said you. Once you have jnana means, the karma, living life of karma yoga has served its purpose.
Right.
Okay? Once you have lived, once you have gained jnana, the living life of karma yoga has served its purpose. Mm-hmm. But still, even then, there's no yoga. But still, if you're doing karma without doership and jasha, that's a different topic.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
Then you, that's a different topic. Then different topic.
So
but what
really
I'm
yoga,
saying
here,
now what I'm, no. Still there's no performance at all. Still you have to be doing. That is a different thing. See, after jnanam, this question will not rise if we have jnanam. Understand? So here what we say in this context. See, you live a life of karma yoga. You have understood the self. Still you are contemplative. Okay, you try to be contemplative. This is the one stage happens. You are contemplative sometimes. And sometimes some doubt comes also. Then you are also, reflecting on certain doubts. See, that's why I'm saying, until all the doubts are removed, there's no pure contemplation. There's no such thing. That is why Shravanam has to be done continuously for some time. See, systematically, regularly, continuously, Shravanam has to be done for length of time. Systematic, continuous, regular shravanam is very important. Only then, mananam, the shravanam itself become mananam. That is why even if you think that I am contemplating, even if you are able, if you understand the nature of the self, even if you try to contemplate on it, sometimes contemplation is possible, but still that contemplation will not result in ascertained vision unless the doubts are all resolved. That is why Shastram says, continuous, constant, systematic, no leaping. Systematic, regular, continuous shravanam for a length of time is important, then which itself will turn to be what? Mananam, and in due course of time, vinidhyasana, contemplation. It's time we have to start. We'll do it again. Anyway, we have a very interesting topic now. We are going to cover it soon, and we're entering into jnana lakshanam. And then I tell you, by the time I cover the chapter, I'm going to sum up the whole chapter in topics. Become much clearer. Because now you're doing different things.
The Vedanta Sara that Swamiji taught at the camp is all about that. In that text, it talks about contemplation versus meditation and
enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's Nikola Ananda.
I tell you one thing. Contemplation, meditation, these subject matters discussed all over, in all the Prakarna Granthas. See, Shankaracharya talks about in all Prakarna Granthas. It is no point in going to different texts. That's why I have said systematic. Systematic means what? See, if you take Vivek Chudamani, Shankara talks about all those things. If you go to Atava, he talks about it. If you go to some other text, he talks about it. In Gita itself, Dhyana Yoga, see, that is why until the 6th chapter, we never teach meditation in our Gurukulam. Because meditation is something one has to prepare. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna takes it to 6th chapter. Understand? That is why systematic, regular, So there are varieties of texts. All the texts talk about everything. All the Prakarana Granthas talk about the Jnanam, talk about Moksha, talk about Karma Yoga, talk about Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam, everything, meditation, everything. But how many texts will you jump into? That is why one text at least goes systematically, regularly, continuously, and go by that. Then we finish this, go to the next. So Swamiji has gone to means he's done one or the other many. Like that, we have to take this and go to that. Go to that. Because we will be doing it in our own class, I'll be doing something else after this, after that. How many things will be there? But in this, that's why when we come to 6th chapter, Dhyana Yoga, we'll be talking elaborately on all these things. Even in fact, by the time we finish 2nd chapter itself, we'll have some idea. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.